It's the download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock tonight. Coming up at 8, Jay Williams, former Chicago Bull, who had that terrible motorcycle accident that ended his career. He's written a new memoir, Life is Not an Accident, and he will be here to talk about the details. He's an open book, no pun intended. I mean, he's talking all about it. So, yeah, I'm excited to talk to him. It's very interesting about, so we're kind of thinking about making it, making mistakes, and making amends. Like, that's what his whole book is about.
That's basically the story of my life right there.
In studio with me now, Mike Foucher. He's the man behind AlderTrack.com, a subscription news service that covers all things Chicago and Springfield politics. Great to see you, Mike.
Great to be here.
So let's talk first. Let's really get at CPS, because we've talked about the Chicago Public Schools for a while now, and today just seemed to be – it's just kind of going
off the rails. So there's a bunch of news that was – there's a bunch of stuff that was in the news in the past couple of days. Yesterday, the Illinois House passed a elected school board bill. Okay, awesome. Yay. And they've been trying to do that for a long time, and what they would do is get rid of the appointed board by the mayor and have 21 elected people. So then the other news is that today there were threats from the teachers union that they were going to strike on April 1st. And really it was about the 7% pension payment that CPS was picking up.
They wanted CTU to pick it up.
They wanted CPS to pick it up. Right. And so Forrest Claypool today, the CEO of CPS, stood up in a kindergarten classroom and gave his little speech. And part of the speech was that we will not discontinue. We will continue picking up this pension payment for the foreseeable future.
While we're under contract negotiations.
While we're under contract negotiations. Right. Exactly right. And so CPS then said, they had a press conference immediately after, an hour afterwards, said, okay, we're not really going to strike, but we might. We could at any moment. And the big day for them is April 18th, which is when the fact-finding document is supposed to come out. And at that point is when CTU is legally able to strike.
Well, why are they threatening an April 1st? Was that just to get ahead of it? Was it just sort of like to grab everyone's attention that that's less than a month away?
I think that they want to be able to make their point soon before the school year is out. And exactly what it is that they would do as a strike is up for debate. You know, it probably wouldn't be a full-on walkout. It would be what's called a whipsaw strike, where a small group of people strike, but you keep the operations going. That sort of thing is usually done in hospitals when nurses go on strike, so you don't shut down the hospital.
Well, I kind of teased it out at the beginning of the show that while these two fight, while Chicago Public Schools and the Chicago Teachers Union fight, and we're used to this fight. This is a fight that we've seen in Chicago over year after year,
four or five years, yeah.
That the real story about Chicago Public Schools, and possibly the bigger culprit when it comes to the funding problems with the school system, is in Springfield.
That's exactly right. So yesterday, a Reuters news agency published an article that was not very widely noticed, but people at CPS are paying very close attention to this, which is that Governor Rauner has been trying in many different ways to take over CPS and move out Rahm Emanuel's organization and then do a wholesale reform changes to CPS. And he's done it. He's tried a number of different ways. He said they were going to force him into bankruptcy.
Right.
He said that he was going to have the state school board take it over, which he's had a series of roadblocks to do that. Well, the thing that it looks like that he's found is that he could declare that CPS is not able to borrow money anymore. Now, CPS right now is really essentially insolvent, and the only way that they're getting by is by borrowing more money.
And in that article, they talk about what that means. What it means is that when a company is borrowing to pay their day-to-day bills,
they are insolvent.
Right. That's what CPS is doing.
And CPS is basically insolvent at this point. And so Bruce Rauner could say that they're insolvent. Now, there's a big controversy about whether or not he actually has the authority to do that. The way that the bond markets work is that an attorney and a bunch of attorneys have to put together the paperwork and say, there are no problems, here are all the things, and everything is fair and true in the information that we're representing to you here. they wouldn't be able to say that because the governor of the state says, well, I think that I can keep you from borrowing. So that jeopardizes the entire bond
process.
Well,
we saw this. We talked about this when earlier in the and I think the mayor came out and said it the same. But you and I sat here after Bruce Rauner had the press conference at the Thompson Center that said, you know what, I just think this is a
month ago.
I want to take this over, blah, blah. And it derailed the bond
deal
that they were working on.
That's
and
exactly
you and I
right.
surmise, like, is it, the theory was he doing it on purpose? Was he setting
right,
the groundwork?
Right.
And that's what this article's about, is from the control room in Springfield, is the Governor Rauner administration, Governor Rauner included, creating a situation that the CPS can't borrow.
It's impossible for them to overcome. And so by forcing CPS to go into insolvency, to no longer borrow, he essentially makes it so that they have to shut down operations. And so then the Illinois State School Board
has to, by law,
take over CPS.
Right. So it's a way
and
that
all this could
to
happen
the
in the next 2 months.
And that could also be why CTU may not be dumb. They might be why they want to strike quicker than not, because they realize that they're target number one when it comes to a takeover in the state board,
well,
because they're going to say,
here's the thing.
Unions.
If CPS is found insolvent and the State Board of Education takes it over, that means that they could vacate all of CPS's union agreements. They could essentially bust the union. Potentially, Governor Rauner could do what Ronald Reagan did in 1981 with the air traffic controllers, where he basically said, well, today you're fired. Tomorrow you can apply for your jobs again, but it's not going to be part of the union, and it's going to be at a salary and terms that we dictate.
We dictate.
So it's mind-boggling to see CTU and CPS arguing over this pension agreement
stuff.
Over
really what comes down to, and that's what it says in this Reuters article.
Right.
The money that they're even $65 million is what they're really arguing
is
pennies
nothing
when it comes to what the actual deficit is for the CPS.
And if Bruce Rauner does manage to take over CPS, this whole argument that they're having is going to be completely tossed out the window.
So to wrap up on this issue, which is one that we will pay attention to in the next couple
this
weeks.
This is going
to
happen.
But what stands in its way? What can Rahm Emanuel do if this article is correct, if this theory is the working theory, and they realize that
he
Governor
can do
Rauner is doing a turnaround?
He can
just
do nothing.
They
he
can't
can do
stop it?
Absolutely nothing. And it really does seem that one way or another, the control of Chicago Public Schools is going to be taken out of Rahm Emanuel's hands. Either it's going to be done by Bruce Rauner, where he takes it over and creates his own board, or it's going to be done through some sort of elected school board. And this actually is really grinding away at the mayor's office.
And
is this what we hear?
I mean, this is based on a Reuters, Dave McKinney Reuters article that sets this all out. We're not just making this up as we talk, but we're coming off of this article. I guess the question I have is it a foregone conclusion this is going to happen? And if so, does it mean the end of the teachers union as we know?
It's not a foregone conclusion. And that you could certainly – it could probably be brought to – it probably will be brought to state courts. Mm-hmm. And it might even go to the state Supreme Court. The problem, though, is that there is a ticking – time bomb here, which is that CPS is going to have to borrow again in the next couple of months. And so the more that Bruce Rauner is able to drag it out, the more leverage and control that he has.
And that is why we are not seeing people go crazy over in Springfield, the state funding formula that was tossed around budget time. There's no incentive for Governor Rauner to come up with that formula to help
CPS. He could care less.
He doesn't need to.
Right.
If his goal is to take over, he's going to let it bleed out.
And so if he takes over, he'll be able to vacate the union agreement. He'll be able to shut down or change schools at will.
And he'll have control of a huge body of government that has a lot of power and clout here
in the city of Chicago.
Yeah.
And he essentially would be able to force Democrats in Chicago to go with his turnaround agenda.
Mike Fouché is the man behind AlderTrack.com subscription newsletter covering all things Chicago and Springfield politics. Let's take a break. We come back. We'll shift gears to the Illinois primary. Some races that are essentially the other fight Governor Rauner has against Speaker Madigan is playing out in some districts. We'll talk about that with Mike. Stay with us.
Yep.
It's a download here on WGN Radio. Mike Fouché is with me. He's the man behind AlderTrack.com, subscription news service covering all things Chicago and Springfield. big week. This is my favorite week, the Illinois primary.
It's all coming down, right?
So March 15th is the primary here, and so that means that we have essentially one week, a week and a weekend. So
yeah.
You already saw tonight that Donald Trump is coming here for a rally. You're
going to see free rally, UIC Pavilion. Right.
So you're seeing politicians are turning their attention to Illinois. We were just talking with Roe that Bernie Sanders just bought a ton of ads on WGN. Marco Rubio did as well.
Yeah.
Here come the ads. Here come the politicians. Yeah. Here come the candidates.
Right.
That's all just for the president.
Right. I know. Right. That's the flash and dash. But then there's these crazy things like. So there's the state rep race on the near west side for Ken Duncan. And Juliana Stratton is challenging him. Ken Duncan is the guy that's been going against all the other Democrats. He's a Democrat, and he's been going against all the Democrats, siding with Rauner, so that Mike Madigan, the speaker, wants to get rid of him. There's already $3 million committed to this race. There'll be 14,000 people that are going to vote. So we're looking at like $200 a vote that's being spent
that's
so far.
That's amazing to me.
It's
because
sick.
This is again, this tone-deaf politics in the state where we understand what's happening. We're not dumb. We get it that there's one Democrat that the Democrats want to get rid of because he's not rank and file. He's not he's not falling in step, which, you know, at a certain point, we're sick of that.
Right.
We're sick of everyone just twiddling their thumbs till Mike Madigan decides what he wants to do.
Right.
So, okay, then Ken Duncan steps out. But then he steps out this way that, and Eric Zorn did a great column about this yesterday. It's like, he wasn't really stepping out. He's not your savior. He's not a hero.
No. I mean, you got to remember, he was siding very closely with Rod Blagojevich back in the day. So, you know, what's that all about?
So then the Democrats, all the big power players from, you know, President Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle to everybody down the line is for his
everyone's got a problem
opponent.
With him. They're all for Juliana Stratton.
And her campaign is pretty much that Ken Duncan's terrible.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And, you know, it's getting some traction. So then there's these other crazy races that are going on, too. And on the southwest side, there is a race between Alex Acevedo, who's the son of current state rep Eddie Acevedo.
Yeah.
So Alex is running for his dad's seat against Teresa Ma. And Teresa Ma is a former Quinn administration staffer. She's a big progressive activist. And she's from Chinatown. And one of the big problems in that area has always been trying to crack the Chinatown organization. You know, people line up behind a candidate. She might be able to actually do it because she's Chinese and she's from Chinatown, and she might be able to break in. There has been intense stuff. There was a press conference where Luis Gutierrez went to endorse Teresa Ma.
And there was a protest.
And there was a protest. And a whole bunch of people came in,
started
screaming at her, started screaming at Gutierrez, started screaming at Alderman Cardenas, who was there too.
It was all ethnic politics. Why are you supporting the Asian candidate and not the Latino
candidate? Why aren't you supporting the Latino candidate? And it was all on video. Fantastic stuff. You got to love it. Yay,
Chicago. Right?
So also right there in the same area in the 12th Ward on the southwest side is in McKinley Park. Is a race for the 12th Ward Committeeman. And this is between two former friends, Alderman Cardenas and the current 12th Ward Committeeman, who's State Senator Tony Munoz, if you can follow all this. And so
Munoz
and Cardenas now hate one another intensely. So Munoz put up a hit website called Corruption Cardenas. And meanwhile, the people in Cardenas camp have been yelling, well, the Munoz people have been getting the assessor's office, Joe Berrios, to help them out. And so they're hosting
it's
stuff
not
with
an
them.
Illinois, it's not an Illinois election unless Joe Berrios gets pulled on in the last week.
Right. And so, you know, there's all these crazy things that are going on in these races. At the same time, there's the state's attorney's race, which is also up around $3 million that they've spent, almost as much as the state rep race.
And that's the race that, I mean, we were just talking about that. It's neck and neck. I mean,
it is.
Kim Fox has been given every single chance to win this election. I mean, she has every endorsement from Dick Durbin down.
Yes.
People have even backed out of endorsements of Anita Alvarez, Luis Gutierrez, and others.
Yes.
I mean, it is amazing.
Yes.
And she's still within the margin of error.
That's exactly right. And I think
I have to give props to Anita Alvarez. I mean, everybody in the city of Chicago and Cook County has been like, get rid of her. And somehow the voters speak.
That's not entirely true, actually. When you look at the polls, there's actually a significant number of people who think that Anita Alvarez has been doing a good job. Yes, she made a mistake on some of the stuff with Laquan McDonald, but she handled it correctly. And one of the things about Anita Alvarez is that she is very much a law and order candidate. She is your traditional law and order prosecutor, and that is how she sees her job and what she's supposed to do. The only place she's ever worked her entire life has been the state's attorney's office. She came out of law school as a young woman and went right into working the state's attorney's office.
I think it's a fantastic race to watch for Chicago politics, Cook County politics, just Kim Fox and Anita Alvarez, because, like I said, I mean, I can't think of any besides Mayor Emanuel, another politician that has taken on so much ire.
Yeah.
And to be in a position where you're a week out from a and have polls have you neck and neck, I just think that says something about something. I don't know.
I think it's a question about how it is that we should be governing our county.
Let me ask you this as we wrap up. Do you see a big picture? Rauner, Madigan, State House, they're obviously not going to work on the budget until an election is taken care of. They've made that clear.
Not until December.
Thank the Lord that they might even look at it in December.
Right.
But the idea, do you see a changeover? Do you see what's happening with the budget stalemate hurting one party or another?
No.
Will there be any change in what happens even in November?
No, I don't think so at all. And, well, the only change would be if Madigan manages to seal up his veto-proof majority in the House by getting rid of Ken Duncan and not losing any other Democrats.
That's really the only race that affects that, right?
That absolutely.
I mean, he's not going to lose any Democrats.
So if he gets his veto-proof majority again, that really paints a bad picture for Rauner. And I think that's exactly why Rauner is trying to go after CPS.
All right, we got more show to do, Mike. I got to let you go, but we could talk about this. Well, next week. Next week we're gonna have Candidate Week here on the Download. So we're gonna have on Monday State Senator Patricia Van Pelt.
Awesome.
And then right after, we're not gonna do debates. What we're gonna do is we'll do 15 minutes with Patricia, and then we'll do 15 minutes with Bob Fioretti.
Yeah.
The same on Tuesday. We're close. I don't want to announce, but it's Fox and Alvarez. And then on Thursday, Stratton and Duncan. So hopefully, So you got to come in and you got to be part of this. We're going to make this happen. Mike Fouché, AlderTrack.com subscription newsletter covering all things Chicago and Springfield. Thanks for being here.
Great to be here.